Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. It's great to be with you again, digging into things that matter, especially stuff we hear right here at Harmony Christian Church, like Pastor Ken's sermons.
Yeah, absolutely. We're glad you're tuning in. Today, we really want to unpack Kent's message, Finding Your People. We're aiming to go a bit deeper than just a recap, thinking about how it connects to our connect groups, you know, and building those real meaningful relationships here in our church family.
Think of it like prepping for your Connect group chat this week.
Exactly. A launch pad.
Because if you were there Sunday, you felt Kent's energy. I mean, classic Ken. He mentioned the block party, the dunk booth.
Oh, the dunk booth. And the Cavs, of course. The crowd loved that bit.
They really did. But underneath the fun, you could really feel his heart, couldn't you? Like, he was almost begging people to try a Connect group.
Yeah, he really emphasized that it's just one semester. Just give it a shot. Take the dare, he said.
He really did. And the promise of the sermon was pretty clear, too.
Definitely. He laid out that he'd talk about why finding your people is so crucial, like fundamentally important.
Right.
And then what you should actually look for in those people. And finally, the practical bit. How do you actually find them?
All aiming for those, you know, deep, rewarding relationships that really help us through life.
Mm-hmm. So let's dive into that why. Kent started with a really raw story, didn't he? Super vulnerable.
He did. About being betrayed by someone he really trusted, another pastor, way back when he felt like a young leader.
Yeah.
He talked about juggling everything, being like a CEO, starting a preschool, stage presence, counseling, feeling like he wasn't quite measuring up.
Wow.
And he shared that vulnerability with this friend, this pastor, only for that friend to, like, use it against him in an elder meeting, no less.
Oof. That's rough. Talk about a gut punch.
Seriously. And Kent used that Golden Girls theme song reference, you know, thank you for being a friend.
Right, to sort of highlight how painful it is when that trust is broken because you let someone in close and you don't know. You don't know who might turn on you.
And that's where it got really real for everyone in the room, I think. Mm-hmm. When Kent asked, okay, how many of you have experienced betrayal?
Yeah. Seeing all those hands.
So many hands went up. It was this, like, collective nod. This isn't just Kent's story. It's, well, it's almost everyone's story at some point.
Mm-hmm. Friends, family, spouses. It happens.
And the temptation afterwards is so strong, right? Just to build walls. Like, nope, never letting anyone that close again. You see it a lot, like after a really bad breakup or divorce.
Absolutely. It's a natural defense mechanism. But then Kent immediately hit us with the counterpoint, the big truth.
Which is?
You were created for deep, meaningful relationships with others. you can't actually thrive in isolation.
And he didn't just say it. He backed it up.
Right.
Right from the beginning, from Genesis.
Exactly. He walked us through creation. God makes the platypus weird but good, the stinky elephant good, sulfur land, sea all good. Then God forms man. You know, mud, breath, life, skin, bones, muscles. Mm. Amazing. But then comes the first not good.
Genesis 2.1 deep.
Bingo. It is not good for the man to be alone. And Kent's take was clear. It's not good for us to be isolated.
Which, when you think about it, reflects God himself, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, the Trinity, God is relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Community is his very nature.
That's a great point. So if we're made in his image,
then we're wired for community, too. It's like embedded in us.
That makes so much sense. And Kent contrasted that so sharply with how we often live.
Oh, yeah. The chase for stuff.
Right. Work, money, success, driving alone, sitting in cubicles, putting up those big privacy fences.
Yeah. Like we're trying to build our own little isolated kingdoms.
Exactly. But Kent's point was, none of that stuff is going with us into eternity. What does go?
People.
People, the relationships. And when we ignore that, when we choose isolation, our hearts end up, well, kind of empty, unfulfilled, alone when things get tough.
It's a really challenging thought.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if we get it, if we know we need people, but we've been hurt, how do we do it wisely? How do we find those trustworthy heart and soul people, like Kent called them, like Jonathan and his armor bearer?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And Kent gave us three key questions to ask.
But wait, there was a catch, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Super important. He said these questions aren't just for finding that friend. They're also a mirror for us. We need to ask if we are being this kind of friend, too.
Okay, good reminder. So question number one.
Do they lead with loyalty?
Loyalty. Okay. And not just saying it.
Not just saying it, actually showing it. Like the fruit of being a Christian idea Kent uses, it's about actions, not just words. How does their loyalty actually play out in their life?
He grounded that in Proverbs, didn't he? Chapter 3.
Yeah, Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart.
Binding them around your neck, like making it visible, obvious.
Exactly. Like, it's part of who you are out there for everyone to see. Like, maybe like the green lanyard some of us wear here at Harmony. It signals something. It's not hidden.
And he gave some really practical, maybe even tough, examples.
He did. Like, is someone faithful to their spouse? Or do they constantly complain about them behind their back? Do they show up for their kids consistently?
Yeah, and he admitted his own mistake here with the friend who betrayed him. He kind of knew there were signs of disloyalty before.
But he ignored them, wanted the friendship, maybe hoped it wouldn't affect him.
Right. So we need to look for that pattern of faithfulness in all areas, not just take their word for it. Okay, what's the second question?
Second question.
Do they tender trust?
Tender trust, meaning?
Meaning, can you actually trust them with the deep stuff, your secrets, your fears, your vulnerabilities, without worrying it's going to end up as gossip?
That's huge. So how do you know? What does real trustworthiness look like? Kent went to Matthew 5 for this.
Mm-hmm. Jesus talking about oaths. Don't swear an oath at all. Just let your yes be yes and your no, no.
Yeah, and Kent's insight here was fascinating. He said, the reason people do swear oaths, you know, I swear on my grandma's grave or I swear to God,
right,
is often because deep down, they know their own word isn't quite enough. Their yes doesn't automatically mean yes.
Exactly. They feel they need to borrow authority from something else because their own integrity isn't solid enough on its own.
So real trustworthiness is just, your word is your bond. You say you'll do something, you do it. You commit, you show up.
Your yes is actually yes. Your no is actually no. It's about reliability, integrity.
And Kent had that funny but oh so true example of the employee who always has an excuse.
Oh yeah, my motorcycle broke down again. My kids were sick again.
And Kent's like, dude, just tell me you didn't want to come in.
Huh. Yeah. Sorry. Their yes wasn't yes. So you look at the small things. Are they reliable day to day? That often tells you a lot about the bigger things.
Makes sense. Okay, loyalty, trust. Wait, what's the third one?
The third question builds on those. Do they cultivate commitment?
Cultivate commitment. Okay, moving beyond just promises to like sustained effort.
Exactly. And he used Paul as the example here. Paul stuck under house arrest in Rome.
Right. Totally dependent on others. Couldn't even get his own food or blankets easily.
But even in that really tough spot, he saw incredible commitment from some key people. Kent highlighted a couple.
What were they?
First, Epaphras from Colossians 4. Paul calls him his buddy, someone who was always wrestling in prayer for his home church back in Colossae, even while he was far away helping Paul in Rome.
Wow. That's commitment. Praying hard for your church, even when you're like on vacation.
Yeah. Kent kind of threw that out there, didn't he? Like, do we pray for Harmony when we're off in Florida? It's a challenge.
It really is. Okay, who else?
Then there is Timothy, Philippians 2. Paul says Timothy is the one who will show genuine concern for your welfare, not focused on his own stuff, but truly caring about others and the mission.
Selfless commitment. Okay. So loyalty, trust, commitment. These are the markers.
These are the big three. And Kent tied it all directly back to our Connect groups here at Harmony.
Yeah, he talked about the exorbitant amount of energy the church pours into them.
Mm-hmm. And he was clear. That energy, that effort, it's for us. It's designed specifically so that within that group of, say, 10 or 11 people, you have a space to find maybe one or two or three of those heart and soul people.
People you can really do life with, go deeper with.
Exactly. It's not accidental. It's an intentional structure to help us find that belonging.
It really is a great setup when you think about it that way. Then Ken kind of brought it full circle back to betrayal.
Yeah, reminding us that nobody gets a pass on experiencing it. From Adam and Eve betraying God.
All the way to Judas betraying Jesus. The last Adam, Ken called him. Yeah. Part of the human condition.
But what Ken found so amazing, so mind-blowing, he said, was Jesus's response.
What was that?
He doesn't let him stop him. Despite knowing betrayal intimately, Jesus doesn't retreat. His command after the resurrection.
Go and make disciples.
Yeah. Invite people in. Even knowing we might fail him, knowing our capacity for betrayal, he still invites us into relationship, into his work. It's kind of staggering.
That really is powerful.
Right?
And that story Kent told about the little girl getting lost in church.
Oh, that was beautiful. The dad finds her and instead of yelling,
he just scoops her up, wraps her in his arms, whispers comfort.
Yeah. And Kent said, that's a picture of God scouring the world for us, not to punish, but to offer another shot. To offer restoration.
Wow. Unconditional love, really.
That's the core of it, isn't it? That grace. Kent argued that we can only really become those loyal, trustworthy, committed friends
when we've truly experienced that grace ourselves, when we know we've been found and restored by God first.
Exactly. It has to flow from that experience. You can't give what you haven't received, in a way.
So wrapping this up then, Kent's big challenge stands.
Take the dare.
Yeah. Try Connect Group this semester. See it as that practical step towards building those kinds of relationships right here at Harmony. It's worth the investment.
For sure. And of course, the even deeper invitation Kent always offers.
Find Jesus.
Find Jesus. He mentioned our green lanyard team's ready to chat, ready to share his love, even if we do it imperfectly sometimes.
Always an open door there.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you maybe head into your Connect group, or just think about this through the week, here's something to chew on.
All right.
Kent talked a lot about finding people with loyalty, trust, and commitment. But turn it around. What does it mean for you to actively become that kind of heart and soul person for someone else? How can you cultivate those things in your own life for the sake of others?
Oh, that's a good one to ponder.
Definitely something to think about. All right, that's our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks everyone. We'll catch you next time.